If you have kids or pets, you know stains and odors in your carpet and upholstery are inevitable. But the experts at ChemDry can help. ChemDry removes odors and stubborn stains by sending millions of carbonating bubbles deep within your carpet. ChemDry lifts dirt, urine, and stains to the surface to then be extracted away, giving you a cleaner and healthier home. Call 1-800-CHEMDRY or visit ChemDry.com to connect with your local ChemDry and learn about special offers in your area. That's 1-800-CHEMDRY or visit ChemDry.com today.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 5. South Dakota seemed like the perfect place to unplug. But I ended up connecting to the world around me. A world where each sunset was painted. Where I felt adventures pulse with every step. And where cold water trickling, pine swaying, and grunting bison became my favorite soundtracks. I just wish I didn't have to leave. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
Hey everybody, welcome to the A&N After Show. My name is Lindsay Loveridge, Executive Editor at Anime News Network, and joining me is Jackie Ching and Mr. AJ Cosplay of the Cartoon Cypher. We're back from MHA filler for some MHA drama, courtesy of the Todoroki family this week.
Yes and yes.
We're going to be diving right into that, but before we get to the content from the latest episode, I just want to remind everyone to sign up for our newsletter at www.animenewsnetwork.com/newsletter, and to also visit kimonomerch.com, where we've got all the ANN cool merchandise to check out. So pick yourself up a coffee cup, t-shirt, we've got some cool things on there, that stickers even, actually. So I think that's all of the preamble, actually, other than, no spoilers in the chat. We're only talking about the content from the latest episode, which is 105?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, I'm starting to lose count of the numbers now, but we're on episode 105. We're only talking about what happens in episode 105. No 106, no further chapters in the manga for additional context, yada, yada, yada.
Which is getting harder and harder.
It's getting harder and harder because they rearranged the arc, and also AJ knows everything. So every time we're like, AJ,
yeah,
AJ, I'm a prophet.
Worship me. No.
But we'll be interacting with the chat the whole time. So if you got any wisecracks that could end up on screen here, just let us know what you thought of the latest episode as well. And if you have any questions, make sure to put them in there, because we'll read them out on the chat. So I guess to get right into it.
Could AJ, also make fun of us. A lot of people made fun of us last week. That was fun.
A lot of people made fun of us and our taste in men. Yeah. I don't have any regrets.
That directed. Oh my gosh. Lindsay, like, roasting me again on Twitter, sending me photos.
I forgot genuinely what stain looked like until it showed up in another video that'll be up on our channel this Friday. And I saw him and I was like, really, Jackie?
And he looks green, that photo, so I don't know.
He looks like a ninja turtle. He looks like a teenage.
I'm telling y'all, if he was drawn in an IRL drawing, like I showed you, like that Tarzan, like, right, animated to real life, like, he would have a nose. It would just be a smaller nose.
Okay. We don't need to rehash this argument from last week. You can go listen to the last episode. You can go listen to last week's episode on the YouTube channel. We've got it right here, or you can download it, our podcast, which we put up on Tuesdays right after this airs. So subscribe to us on Stitcher. We're on iTunes. Is it still called that? I don't have an iPod. Do they still make those?
You,
I don't
know. Spotify?
We're also on that as well. We're on all of your
podcast listening apps. You will most likely find us there.
Yes. Yeah. Our ridiculous arguments saved forever in history.
That's our legacy,
our
right
epic
there.
Arguments, you mean. epic.
All right.
We really went off the rails last week.
We did. I'm gonna try to steer a little better this time, but we'll see what happens. I mean, I've got a lot of Endeavor dunks waiting to happen, so I'm just gonna prime those up this week. But AJ, why don't you tell us about Deku Bakugo? Poor Bakugo, I felt really bad for him.
For the first time,
he was killing me. He was hilarious.
Oh, I feel so bad for you.
Yeah. Yeah. But Deku and Bakugo joined Todoroki for dinner with his family. And how did that go down, HA?
Not well. Well, no. before that, we have, that's only the second half of the episode. Before that, we have the first half, which is kind of a lot of flashbacks, kind of reiterating. There's some anime original stuff in there. It's basically like Deku, Todoroki, and Bakugo carrying on a few more days of their internship following Endeavor, trying to put into practice the stuff they taught him, like Bakugo trying to like get quicker, Todoroki trying to harness his fire, and Deku trying to manage the parallel, I kept wanting to say post-processing, but that's a different thing, parallel processing.
That's right, like the driving, yeah.
Exactly. Into effect, they're still really lagging behind, but they're not letting it get them down. Burning even makes a little bit of a note that like, oh, I guess I don't really need to hype them up or anything because their costumes are looking a little dirty and ragged. You can tell they're working hard. And we have Endeavor kind of sitting down reflecting on, wow, I've really been a bad dad, haven't I? Basically, like he's recounting the conversations he's had. He's recounting the conversations he's had with his wife. He's recounting how
conversations.
He's recounting how things were with his children, and a lot of this sparks from a call that he gets from his currently oldest child. This is Todoroki. This is, I have this, we gotta be very careful. This is Shoto's, oldest sister. I believe her name is, Fuyumi.
Fuyuki?
Fuyumi. Fuyumi.
Is it? I thought it was Yuki because I thought I had the word for snow in it.
No, it's Fuyumi. Fuyumi, okay. Todoroki. And we find out that she is a school teacher. Mm-hmm. And that she's very excited. She recounts to Endeavor. She's very excited. Like, oh, I heard that Shoto has been visiting mom more and that she's responding well and basically hyping up the whole like, oh, maybe we can be a family again type of conversation. And Endeavor gets very introspective about that. He even recounts that, oh, you know, there are times where I have this dream where it's like, my family is all around loving and happy, but I'm never there with them. And he remembers what Shoto said to him last time. It's like, don't try to act like a dad now. I'm not here to like patch things up. I only respect you. I'll respect you as a hero, but that's about it. And basically Endeavor being like, you know what? Maybe a family dinner would be nice. Let's see how that actually goes. And so we get to the family dinner, mm-hmm. and it goes badly. It goes exactly how you would think when you invite friends over to have dinner. And there's this, a lot of unresolved family tension.
How did they think that was going to go well?
They didn't.
Low key, I come from a family that's like pretty dysfunctional and I can kind of like, I actually want to like draw some comparisons because like there's
a lot of people can relate.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. Exactly. Like we all like, if you come from a functional family, like props, that's amazing. But like, I think many of us, there's a lot of dysfunction there, but it's like, I just am like this, they already have so many problems. Like why would you bring two strangers to just like come and sit and try to be a part of, like, I just don't understand how that happened or who thought that was a good idea.
Thought it was a good idea. Fuyumi, I mean, it was her idea. And I think looking at it with
Bakugo and Deku, I didn't know
Bakugo. So she probably didn't know he'd be, you know, himself.
She wanted to have Shoto's friends over because he never really had friends before.
Yeah.
And I guess she was just being optimistic of, we can kill two birds with one stone. We could have Shoto over for dinner. Everything will be great. And we can finally meet Shoto's friends and stuff like that without realizing, oh no. This is not going to go well. And I think Endeavor also kind of had the gears turning his head with, I don't think that's going to go well, but I'll try it because I'm also desperate for it to go well. And it just didn't go well.
First of all, like, I don't know if y'all have ever, I mean, I have actually been in the position of like Shoto where I'm like, have friends over and like my family dinner is going off the rails and I'm just so embarrassed and I don't like know what to say or how to react, you know? Yeah. I've also been in Bakugo and Deku's situation where like I'm watching my friend's family dinner go off the rails and I'm just like, worst feeling ever, worst feeling ever. Cause you're like, I don't want to say anything because it's really not my place to say anything, but then I'm here. So I'm like stuck in silence, but a lot of things that they're talking about, like, especially me, I'm an opinionated person. I low key have an opinion about, you know what I mean? So like, I think there are people who are like Deku who were like really, really like sad. And were just like, I felt like in some ways he was like kind of hoping to mediate. And then there, I definitely would be like Bakugo, like, you know what? Like, we were here to have a good time. I want to enjoy the food. And like, why is this going down like this? Like, literally, like when he was like saying, like, you're ruining the Mapo Tofu. Like,
yeah, he really likes that Mapo Tofu.
But like, for real, it's like, this is like killing the whole vibe. You know what I mean? Like, so yeah. I'm like, I think, I don't know about y'all, but I've definitely been on both sides of that situation. And it was just, it kind of made this episode enjoyable because it was just like, man, you just understood the uncomfort or discomfort everyone was feeling, like on all sides. So.
No, I'm in the same boat as you. I could even go a step further and say that one of the first times I went to go visit my first girlfriend who lived like 3 hours away from me, this exact thing happened.
Oh, no.
She got into a fight with her.
You can't just leave if you like live 3 hours away. I couldn't just leave.
Not only could I not leave, but we were going to a con the next day, and I was the ride. So it was late at night. They got her and her brother and the parents got into some weird argument in the next room, which was also supposed to be the room I was going to sleep in. So I sat there in the living room for like an hour, being like, kind of want to say something, but I know it's like absolutely not my place to say anything. I just crawled to the fetal position and fell asleep on the couch. I woke up awful the next day. But yeah, no, it's, I got flashbacks to that, kind of in a oh my god, but also kind of an entertaining way. Like, it's fun to see this happen. It's never fun to be a part of it.
No.
What about you, Lindsay? If you ever,
I think like the closest thing I can think of is like having a big girl group sleepover and then someone's feelings gets hurt like about something, or you know, or there's one person
I hated sleepovers as a kid because girls sleepovers never went well. Someone always got hurt.
Yeah,
Lindsay, you've boys, right? So you don't even need to worry about that.
Yeah,
I have a daughter, like, she ain't going to a girl's sleepover. I'm sorry. If that ruins her socialization skills, so be it. But it's like, those were, I don't know about Lindsay, but like, those were always disasters.
They're always really weird. I remember, like looking back on it, like, the stuff that would cause rifts would always be, like, so ridiculous.
Who knows?
Lord!
The point is, they're gone now, and we don't have to worry about them anymore, he said, obviously.
But you know who's not gone? Endeavor, because he's still Todoroki's dad.
He's still Todoroki's dad, and so everything initially seems to be going fine until Shoto's other oldest sibling, I think his name is Natsu, shows up. He's a college student. He shows up and takes every jab he can at Endeavor at the dinner table. And just,
I was Natsu at the dinner table.
Yeah.
Like, literally, like, my brother was, like, such a good human. And he'd be like, okay, like, let's just all get along, you know? Like, my mom and dad are, like, super dysfunctional. And then I would be, like, and everybody be playing nice. And I have a baby sister, just kind of like Shoto. And then I would just be like, I'm not cool with this. This is awful. Whatever. And then I just, like, storm off. My dad be like, get back here. This is supposed to be family time. It's supposed to be a family dinner. And then my brother's just like, I just wanted everyone to have a good time. And my little sister's, like, so young, doesn't give a crap. Like, I literally was, like, getting flashbacks watching this scene. And I was just like, there's always got to be that sibling who just, like, I don't know. Like, okay.
Like, I'm not playing. I'm not pretending that what you did didn't happen.
Yes.
It did. Yeah. And it's messed up. And why am I here? And this food's not that great. I'm out. Bye.
Exactly. And he's college age. So, like, let's give him a little bit of a break here. Because, like, obviously now, like, I'm 34 years old. If I was put in this situation now, I'd probably be like, okay, like, let's be, like, let's not storm off Jackie and have a temper tantrum, which is, you know, what Natsu does. But I do think that You know, it's still valid. This is the thing with Endeavor. So this, I'm just gonna like, I'm sorry, AJ. I know you've been talking for a while, but I want to talk about this. Okay. So with Endeavor, I know like a lot of people hate Endeavor. Lindsay, hatred. Yes, huge hatred. So and I get it. I mean, like, he's done despicable things. The one thing I have to give Endeavor credit for, though, is that he's trying to change, because I think that there's so many people in the world who are just pieces of beep, for lack of a better word, but they think that they're great and they don't think I need to change. And they're like, you're all the problem. I'm not the problem. Right. And like, so I have to give Endeavor, even though he has done awful, terrible, like really like cringeworthy on another level things, the fact that he's trying to change, like, I have to give him a little bit of credit. Has he done enough? Hell no. Hell F word no.
He knows how, though? Like, I also kind of get this
good point.
He's not a fully like emotionally cognizant person. Like, he's like,
no.
I don't know if we ever find out about like Endeavor's backstory or whatever, but that man is like not like in tune with his own feelings.
Slight spoilers, we don't.
Can I call Lindsay and I out here? She might get mad about this. Call her out.
Okay. Am I going to be
Lindsay? We've all had a phase in our life. I haven't gotten out of that phase, but you date guys who are really attractive, but have no emotional intelligence at all. Like, it's just like they're devoid of it.
We did say that
we've already established Endeavor is a himbo. I think he literally, I mean, I think what Lindsay's saying is like, you know, he really doesn't have the emotional capacity. Like, I feel like he literally is like, oh God, I'm just thinking about when he's trying to read. It's just like, it's hitting the wall. But he's literally hitting a wall here. Like, he's like, I have these dreams about my family being happy and I want to be happy with them. And then it's just like a blank. It's like dead white noise. Like, it's like his brain can't branch off of that.
When he brought that up and he's like, I have dreams of my family being happy. I was like, are you not in the dreams though? Have you realized that? You're not there for a reason. So yes. So he's not emotionally cognizant. This is I'll just like straight up say, this is a man who should not have had children. Like, just straight up. Like, he wants to be number one hero or whatever. Fine. Like, pursue that dream. Acknowledge within yourself that maybe you just don't have the emotional capacity to care, raise healthily other human beings. And then I personally think, you know, there are people who decide not to have children. Yeah. And I think that's cool. Like, if you don't want kids, 100%. That's fine. If you acknowledge in yourself that like, that's just not like a responsibility that you're comfortable with, it's much better to figure that out now and not have children than figure it out afterwards.
But I think he wanted to have kids because he is so self-centered and so self-absorbed that he was like, oh, I can't let this waste. Like,
you know, this firepower, essentially, this gift I have. And I mean, we see that.
So selfish, you know?
Yes, and we see that in stories with people who don't have superhuman powers all the time, who are like, think they just are full of themselves, or they're gifted in some sort of, you know, normal world way. And they think, I guess the first story that always like comes to mind is Beethoven, right? Like, do you know how Beethoven's dad trained him to play piano? Like, he used to take his son, who was probably roughly Shoto's age, up into an attic and make him like play piano until he got it right from like memorization. And this is like a young kid who's stuck up in an
attic.
What if he wanted to go outside or something? But that wasn't an option. And his dad beat the crap out of him until he got great enough at piano. And people might look back and say, well, he's one of the greatest composers ever. It's like, yeah, but he also never married and was known for having like a horrible, horrible temper that may have been due to like some other things
like at the same time.
Yes, like that man up there who is beating the shit out of his 5-year-old while the kids that he decided weren't good enough are playing soccer downstairs. Like, it's the same sort of thing.
Can you imagine like just this whole family? I just like, I feel so bad for, because it's just like, to be the child that a parent is like focusing all of their energy on is like already, I think, really, really tough. But then when you're kind of the child that's cast away, like, that's also extremely tough, you know?
Yeah.
It's just like, God, this is, you know, with Endeavor, it's just like, I want to give him credit because like he has identified it. But then I'm like, dude, do something. having one-on-one conversation with each of your kids and apologize appropriately. Like having a stupid family dinner that is super awkward and you haven't even properly apologized to everyone. Like just what the,
but which to be fair, he did sort of try to do it. But before that, I do want to pull up a very good point, Lindsay, about how this is a man who should not have children.
He just shouldn't have had children.
I agree. He only wanted children so that he could have some kind of legacy.
100%
Surpass his dream, basically. He's like, okay, I might not be the pro hero now, but like my blood will be eventually. The irony 100%. Is, when you look at how everything played out in retrospect, he would have eventually ended up the number one hero if he did not have children.
Right. Right.
Because All Might retired. And that was never going to change.
Right.
So now he's literally stuck with a family that he never planned for, that he never really took into consideration. Like they're in a wealthy family. They're privileged to an extent.
Yeah. Their house is freaking huge.
Yeah. Like, they had a housekeeper and everything. They seem to have good education. It's people have commented in the past that Shoto's family wealth is kind of similar to Momo's. Like they're kind of the rich kids of the class.
Yeah.
But emotionally, they got nothing. They had a mother who was a nervous wreck all the time to the point where she had a mental breakdown. And skipping ahead a bit, there is a hidden layer to this as well that we're now getting confirmation on. His first child died.
Dude, like the freaking like wallop that was at the end there. And I think we see, is that him there with the red hair that we're seeing?
That is him with the red hair. And that is...
because we only see him really briefly. Like, obviously, it's not, you know, it's not Todoroki. He's up there. And the other, you know, we see Fuyumi there and we see Natsuo. So, like, that's got to be him, right? And I think we only see him from the back there. And then we also see, like, him fall down at one point, I think, really quickly.
It's weird. It's him here.
Yeah, his hair is white there, which is strange compared to the earlier hair.
That might be a continuity issue, honestly, because
is that screenshot you just showed earlier not from this episode?
Oh no, it's from the same episode. Like it's part of those flashbacks that we see. I'm speaking slightly as a manga reader. He was born with red hair.
Okay,
so I don't know why his hair is white here.
Yeah, I mean, Todoroki
confused me too, because
Shoto has you know both, but it's always been both.
And the other characters have like bits of it in their hair as well. I apologize. Mm-hmm. My house phone is ringing behind me. But, and I think that does correspond with their powers. We don't get enough of it.
Wait, do the other two have powers? I thought they might have been quirkless. So they do have quirks?
I think it's implied that at least Fuyumi has ice powers. But the problem is he wanted a child with both of them.
Yeah, no, I got that. But I thought that they might even have been quirkless because he was so just disregarding them so much. But okay, so I didn't know that.
So we know Toya here has died. I mean, they've got him in the family memorial in the house, which is like a traditional, like, I think it's Shinto. It may also be Buddhist, but I know for sure it's Shinto thing to have a black framed photo of the deceased in the house like that, usually with like incense or like a small statue or really small like offerings. Like sometimes you'll see like a mandarin orange or something there like that. But we don't know what happened to him other than the fact that he's dead. So, I mean, and then knowing what Endeavor is like and also taking some of the dialogue that we got from like Natsuo earlier, it seems at least that the other siblings blame Endeavor for whatever it is that happened to him, knowing what he did to Todoroki. It's like, this was the first one. So,
yeah,
I mean, did he push it too far the first time around and then dialed it back by the time Todoroki was born? Like,
well, Natsu does say something to him.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. Natsu does say something to him where it's like, you never let me like see Shoto at all. Like he's never had my cooking or anything like that. I never know what he was interested in. And now I can also never see Toya again. Right. I'm like, oh, okay. So there is some blame on his death on Endeavor. We just don't know exactly what the context of his death is.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of shocked that Endeavor lost a son and that he didn't immediately have a reaction to be like, hey, I need to fix things going on with my family. Like, one that just seems to me like immediately that he just didn't have the emotional capacity to deal with what was happening. You know what I mean? Like, that, I'm sorry. Like, you could be a really heartless person, but it's like for you to lose a son and just be like, we didn't know his initial reaction. We don't know what the initial reaction was, but like, this is kind of like really making me take a step back and being like, dude, Endeavor, what the?
Well, we know like what he was doing to Shota was happening while Toya was still alive because of that screenshot that AJ showed earlier. So we know that like he was, you know, doing whatever, you know, the making his 5-year-old son like throw up and beat the crap out of his wife and throw her around the room and stuff while Toya was still alive. And then Lost Thief pointed out in the chat that he's in Toya's in his middle school uniform here. So that he died
pretty young.
He died pretty young. God, this is actually a little hard for me not to get emotional about because my kids are both these ages.
He could have probably died. I'm like,
he lost a son, and it's like you don't have like I'm just like honestly, it's like painful to like even talk about. Like Lindsay said, I'm like, dude, you lost a son and like you still can't fix things with your family. Someone in the chat was like, any apology would be hollow right now. And like, I understand that, but it's also like, just say like, hey, I'm saying sorry right now and I need to work on myself, but like, please like know that I'm saying sorry and I'm going to try to figure it out. And this still pisses me off that he hasn't said sorry. And I understand what the person in chat was saying, but also it's like, I don't know. Like, I think we're all like, you know, all three of us do a lot of self work. We're very open about our mental health and stuff like that. But it's like, we own up to our actions and then we try to correct our behavior or actions. Right. And it's like with Endeavor right now, I don't see him fully owning up. Like we see the wheels turning, but he hasn't owned up to it. And he hasn't corrected behavior or actions yet.
What I was trying to say earlier though, is just that like, we don't, because the sequence of events, all we know about it right now is like Toya died in middle school. And that may have been like a few years into some of the abuse we've seen that Todoroki experienced. Endeavor may have stopped that towards Todoroki when Toya did die, but that's also going to like line up somewhat with his wife's mental break. So it's like his child died, his wife had a mental breakdown and, you know, hurt Todoroki and was hospitalized as a result and
still in the hospital, right? Like she's been in there for years, right?
She's still recovering. She's been in there for years.
Yes.
Like, that's for years. Crazy.
And it speaks a lot to Todoroki's kindness, which is something that Fuyumi pointed out here. Or no, Deku pointed out here.
Yeah,
that we'll Todoroki get to that. Will eventually forgive Endeavor because he's too kind to continue holding a grudge. And the one thing I can say about that, at least, is, I mean, that lines up for me because this is a boy who was burned, has a physical scar from, you know, his mother. And that scene was really hard, too. Like, her realizing what she did to him and, like, the screams and stuff. Gosh. That was so hard.
Oh, it's worse in the manga. They cut some scenes out.
Yeah. So the fact that, you know, he has that trauma and then lived through it and then still continued to write letters to his mother and visit his mother, even though like, and was able to forgive his mother because of her mental illness. Like that shows a huge capacity on his part for forgiveness. I think
100%.
Cause he's just a huge good
emotional
person.
Capacity. Yeah. But you know what? A lot of people would be, if their parent had did that to them, they would be like, why would you do this to me and not be able to forgive them? The fact that he was, but also, I think Todoroki went through so much trauma at a young age that it made him very, like, I think he's, you know, very empathetic. You know what I mean? Like, I do feel like he had a close relationship with his mom. And, you know, as we were saying, like, we see her immediately be like, whoa, what just happened? Like, I just hate even thinking about that. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, that really hurts me to my gut. I can't imagine it being worse in the manga because that makes me, like, not even want to touch the manga. Like, because it's like that was really heavy for me. Because it's like we're human beings. I understand they have quirks and stuff like that. But like, you know, they're still like human beings and people have mental breaks, you know. And like for him to be able to see that his mother just like got shut down. I mean, like, I honestly like really It's we already know Todoroki is a good heart. We already know that. But I'm when Deku said that, that really hit me because I was like, I do think Todoroki is going to forgive Endeavor. You know what I mean? And but it was so. Did Endeavor overhear that and Natsu? Because it showed like cutscenes of that.
I think Endeavor did overhear Deku talking to Todoroki. I think he did.
Yeah,
AJ, am I right on that?
I think they both overheard him. If not both of them, then definitely Endeavor. And I think that's part of the reason why he went to the grave. Another angle of this, I'm of two minds about this. When I saw,
I missed that part. He went to Toya's grave.
Well, no, to the shrine. To the shrine.
To the shrine. Okay.
I won't say anything on that because that's a bit of a spoiler. Specifically, like how he died and everything. But it is kind of this thing because when I say recently, I mean the few months ago, really addressed like what happened and what that means for everybody, not just Endeavor. But to be honest, the timeline is a little bit weird with regards to when it happened, because I'm not even 100% sure if Toya died before Todoroki got scarred after, because...
Yeah, that's a good point.
Because I feel like both are... Because think of it this way. If Toya died like after having the psychotic break, maybe that was like the extra push that put Rei in the hospital after she had her psychotic break.
Right. Yeah. Cause I didn't even think about the fact that she was also grieving the death of a child at the time. So,
and then maybe that would explain why Endeavor, still an asshole, but he maybe stopped physically abusing, Todoroki at that point, because it's implied like he still trained him hard but didn't straight up like hurt him or anything after a certain point. If Toya died before, I almost feel like that makes Endeavor's actions worse, because then it's like you already lost a son to practices that are implied to tie into like why you conceived these kids in the first place, and that made you go all the way to the extreme of, well, I finally found a kid that will work, so I just have to drill it into even more so that doesn't happen again. But now it's like it almost feels like he needs to have more self-reflection to be like, no, I really, really fucked up. And someone mentioned this in chat. We've acknowledged that Shoto is on the path to forgiving him. It's just going to take time. And I think even after we've had it kind of spelled out here, we've sort of seen him progressively dealing with his dad better and better every time they interact with each other. I like how we look at Shoto, Natsu, and Fuyumi all have very different reactions for how they want the family to look going forward. And the show doesn't condemn any of them. It shows all of them are valid ways of dealing with a problematic situation. Natsu's not wrong for wanting nothing to do with his father ever again. Fuyumi is not wrong for just wanting wanting to get to a place where they can all kind of be a family. And Todoroki's somewhere in the middle where it's like, I haven't forgiven you yet. I need a bit more to eventually forgive you, but I at least have the capacity to do so. And we don't even know what the mom is thinking. Like,
it seems like when they checked in with her, I think they read one of her letters aloud or something like that. The most that she wants is to be reunited with her children, which I mean, that's, you know, completely understandable. And that seems like a great first step. She wants to go home and not be in the hospital anymore and, you know, be around her children. I was also thinking more about the timeline as well, as I was thinking that, you know, we've only seen like Endeavor's interactions with Shoto up to like a certain age point. Like, it seems like after the burn and his mom went into the hospital, we haven't really gotten like any acknowledgement that like Endeavor kept interacting with him like a lot or with the kids even at all. I kind of get, and he seems like the type of guy that I would 100% think he would be so ashamed of like his family falling apart that he would just fucking take off and go do his hero shit and let the caretakers or whatever take care of the children. Cause it's like,
I don't think he interacted with them very much.
After Rei went in the hospital. Yeah. That's just,
I don't feel like that.
I think
either.
That's heavily implied. Yeah. That he was very rarely home. And like, even when it was, there still feels like there was the separation. Like they had a caretaker and stuff like that. It's not like he was raising them as a single father. It very much feels like an out of sight, out of mind thing. And as far as his interactions with Shoto, the closest we get to an idea of what that looked like was maybe during season two when we first see Endeavor, and he's just constantly hounding him about like you'll need my firepower at some point, like
you'll need me,
and it looking at it now, it almost feels like overcompensation. You could kind of see that as someone pointed out in chat, like Endeavor is the embodiment of toxic masculinity, and he kind of is, but sometimes a lot of that comes from a place of overcompensation, and maybe it's just as a control freak, maybe when you suffer like a great loss and stuff like that, or you really, really fuck up, your desire to be in control of everything intensifies. So he's like, I might have lost my first son, but like, I will make sure that, maybe it's his own way of being like, I'll make sure that never happens to you again, but you need to need me for that to happen. I'm like, that's not healthy.
No.
But like everyone in chat said, and everyone here said, there's not a lot of acknowledgement of that. And part of that does come from the fact that he does lack a certain amount of mental maturity. He's very much a do instead of act now, ask questions later kind of person.
How much do you think his approach to raising his children was actually just him compensating for his lack of adequacy because he wasn't the number one hero in All Might?
That's the whole reason why he had kids in the first place. But we don't know Endeavor's past. Like, What did Endeavor go through? Like, what was his parents like? What was his background? You know, we don't know anything about Endeavor.
Except AJ.
Yeah. No, I wish I knew.
You don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know.
You know, so it's like that's very interesting to me because it's like, what made him the person that he is? And I think that we were seeing all those flashbacks because I actually, you know, I really like the flashback between All Might and Endeavor when All Might's like, dude, like, don't try to do it my way, like do it your way and just be like fierce and, you know, so strong and like so powerful, just like do it your way, you know? And we don't really know what's going on in Endeavor's mind. Like, is Endeavor trying? Like, I have no idea. Like,
I think he's still trying to figure out the alphabet, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, and I 100% agree too. Like, I feel like he's just bulldozing through life, like trying the best that he can and really screwing it up, to say the least. But I do think that he definitely, you know, we were talking about, why did he have these kids? Like, why did he want this legacy to continue? He obviously felt a lot of shame about not being number one. You know what I mean? That hasn't been said flat out. But, yeah. Like, I feel like he wants Todoroki to be number one. You know, or he wanted one of the kids to be. You know, I mean, I don't think he really cared if it was Shoto or whoever. You know what I mean? But I think that we need to see him come to terms with, like, that and his family. God, Endeavor just has a laundry list of stuff to do. Like, there's got to be an arc about his self-work. I'm just kidding.
I don't know if we'll get that in Shonen.
Yeah, I don't know.
I would be very impressed if we did, to be honest. But Nick points out he doesn't think Endeavor needs a backstory. That kind of ego and toxicity doesn't have an origin story. That's true. I was going to talk. I mean, sometimes I think as human beings, so this will seem tangential, but I promise that it's related. The reason true crime podcasts are popular is because people want to understand what causes people to be absolutely insane. And they feel like if they know that, they can avoid it or spot it in the future. And it makes you feel more safe because you're like, the people I know didn't have this crazy, tragic, like traumatized childhood. So obviously, like, I'm not going to get murdered by my neighbor or something like that. Mm-hmm. But the truth is, sometimes people are just, and there's no real reason for it that you can pin down, or there's never enough justifiable backstory to warrant the reaction. I just,
plus understanding like how such prevalent problematic tendencies come from doesn't change the fact that they still need to acknowledge and fix it.
See, but I disagree with Lost Thief. I think that when people are that egotistical and toxic, it's due to self-hatred, or it's due to I think like they're just trying to be so impressive because they weren't impressive to someone else in their past. Does that make sense? Like, he's trying to impress someone. So, I mean, totally possible that he's just one of those people who just comes out of the womb, you know, the way he does. But for me, when someone is so hardened and so desires to people please and be the center of attention and be number one, there's trauma behind that. Like that's for me. It's like, I agree with Lindsay. It's shonen. Like, no one, we're not going to see any like serious, like deep dives into, you know, what happened to Endeavor, but it is interesting that they're kind of trying to do that with Shoto. So like, this is kind of my thing with this whole tragic Todoroki family, like arc that's starting to happen. I'm just like, how deep is My Hero Academia going to go with this? You know what I mean?
Oh, like, how deep is the
how
wound?
Deep are, like, but like, and how deep are they going to go into like solving these people's trauma and like into this tragedy? Like, I have no idea. Like, I'm not going to lie. This show was just so, to me, sugary, sweet and cute. And then it got heavier, like towards season one, we saw Shigaraki. Right. And yeah. I was like, oh, got a little dark. Right. And then season two, like training and, you know, back to kind of like sugary sweet, you know? And for me, it got hella dark when we, and it's still not super dark, but it was one for all versus all for one. But then when the overhaul arc happened, I was like, oh, this show is not afraid to go darker. Cause we saw one of the League of Villains guys get killed like that.
Yeah.
And in the first episode, and I was like, what am I watching? This is My Hero Academia, you know?
People are dying. Yeah.
And then to this, you know, we've talked about this on the podcast before, Shigaraki not only taking overhauls one hand, but taking both hands. Like, I was just like, this show is supposed to be for kids, right? Like, that was like really heavy to me. So I'm just kind of like, what's going on here? Because
the kids are into it too. Yeah. By the mall, like last time
kids I went to the mall. Trauma.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, but let's be honest, we like this stuff because we're like, wow, how are they going to get through this trauma? Because it's going to help me figure out how to get through my own, right? So it's like, that's why this episode, I was like, damn, I'm watching like my own like family like history playing out here a little bit. And I'm like, how many other people at home feel the same way? But I guess my question is how deep is My Hero Academia going to go? Because it's always been kind of like, in my opinion, a kiddier show. Season four made me think maybe it's going to go darker, but season five up until this point has been pretty sugary sweet again. If not, to be honest, sugary and sweet to the point where I almost wanted to like be like, am I going to keep on watching this? But this episode is making me intrigued. I just am like, are they going to go deep or not?
Yeah.
Yeah. God, I can't say anything.
You can't say anything, AJ.
I hurt so badly.
Every week, you can feel it deep in your soul.
Right, but like this more than anything, Jackie's asking all of the right questions.
And yeah, like, everyone in chat is like, totally, like they're like, okay, like going off here. So I'm like, okay, it's going to get good. I mean, we know without a doubt, the Metal Liberation Army, you know, like the thought of it is just like absolutely frightening. They have, did they say 100,000 people?
Over 100,000 people.
Yeah, I mean,
all
like,
throughout
what is about to go down? And then we know Shigaraki just like blew up something like out of the blue, just doing Shigaraki thing. Yeah.
City.
Yeah.
I don't know how anyone there is doing. Is everybody dead?
Like, I know. I'm like, that kind of got blown over. I'm like, whoa, what? And then it was like, now we're going on to something else, like in the show.
I really, okay. I know I jinxed myself twice already, but third time's the charm. If, okay, first off.
I love how close AJ was to his camera. He's like, two more episodes.
No, I'm sorry. I got out of focus. I'm just like, two more episodes. It's because my mic is here.
Two more episodes.
Over the thing. But yeah, there is an after credits scene that. Yeah. That will specifically deal with, basically, that is going to be the climax of this arc. So we are finally wrapping up the Endeavor Agency arc. But now the question is, I don't know what comes next. We have this ominous looking guy who, by the way, this was completely reframed in the manga.
He seems like a one-off villain. I thought he was just going
to
be like
he's actually from the manga. The way we are being introduced to him is different from the manga. Like,
okay,
here we see him actually like leave jail and like walk down the street and then just see, and I guess this is technically a flashback, and we just see him.
Because we're post-Christmas now, right?
We're post-Christmas. We're post-New Year's. But he's like noticing this. He's noticing the broadcast of when Endeavor beat that Nomu at the end of season 4.
Right.
And okay, he's like got this very specific fascination with Endeavor.
Yeah.
He is like all over the next episode. And that is basically, that acts as both a climax and a follow to the arc and a follow-up to the conversations that are being talked about here.
Okay.
After that, I don't know. There are 7 episodes left in the series after that. And it's like, you can technically tell the arc we skipped in 7 episodes. It's a very fast arc. I hope.
Intense?
It's intense and quick. Like, there's a lot that's happening.
We're in for a ride, Lindsay. Chad is like, we're in for a ride.
Oh, I really hope. Like,
AJ is about to chew his tongue off or something, fighting clean through his tongue.
The only thing I'm upset about this next arc is that the three of us can't physically watch it together, because I feel like it would be so much fun if the three of us could watch it together.
It would. It'd be great if it lasted until Anime NYC or something like that, but no, unfortunately.
This next episode looks like things are going to get real AF, though. Yeah. Like,
guy's targeting Endeavor, I mean, if unless like the internship is done, I would assume whatever he does to Endeavor could possibly endanger Todoroki, Bakugo, and Deku as well if they're tagging along with him when he gets.
I will say that it is
confrontational,
because we see this a bit in the preview. It does literally take place later. So this is what I mean, where things are a little bit different. This is a flashback that wasn't in the manga.
Okay.
When we get introduced to him, he is literally already outside the house.
Oh,
while this whole conversation is happening.
Is he outside the house while they're all having dinner in there?
I'll have to see how they rearrange
it. Yeah, and grab Natsu and wrapped him up.
Yeah,
and
you see it in the preview that
Endeavor's
he does
out there.
Right.
I'm not gonna lie, I totally like am ready to cry. Like, I'm like, I want Endeavor to like come out and be like, Natsu, I failed you. I'm sorry. I'm gonna save you. I would do everything. I want him to be like, I want Endeavor to like make the apology that we've all been asking for.
Through his actions.
Yeah.
Because he is a man of action and not a man of words. So if he can only prove himself,
he would be a man of words if he knew how to read.
Yes, exactly. As a manga reader, you are all asking the right questions, and you're all appreciating the right insight that I think the writer wanted, because there is. Let me just put it this way. This is not the last we hear of these conversations at all. Yeah. Like, we will get them more, and they will get more intense. Jackie, you hit it on the head. Probably more so than any other shonen has with regards to the idea of like family trauma and stuff like that. And such a believable, the fact that we can relate our messed up family circumstances.
Yeah. Everybody has trauma. Unless, you know, there are people out there who have like great parents, you know what I mean? And I'm always like, God, that was so, yeah. And I don't want to like, I don't want to bash on my parents here too much, because I feel like I'm like saying stuff and it's like, damn. But like, real talk, I low key had parents who like in ways remind me of Endeavor, you know what I mean? Like, but the one thing about my parents is that, and you know, a lot of people who follow me know this already, my brother passed away, and it made every single person in my family have like, what am I doing wrong with my life? Like, how can I be a better human? That's why when I was talking about Endeavor and I was like, dude, your son died and you still haven't come around. Like, I'm not really quite sure what to say to that, because it was like when my brother Ian passed away, it was like, I'll be completely frank, my whole family was just selfish. It was just a bunch of self-absorbed people. And we all were just, I think that for myself, my brother, and my sister, like, we weren't self-absorbed. We had each other, but my parents were both just kind of like straight up, for lack of a better word, narcissists, you know? But like, And frankly, two people who probably shouldn't have had kids, but which, like we said, with Endeavor, right? Mm-hmm. But my parents, after Ian passed away, apologized to me and Fiona, and were so apologetic, obviously, to Ian. And you know what I mean? Like, and they showed that through words and through actions. And we're still, as a family, working through it. You know what I mean? But it's like people ask me now, like, wow, you should hate your parents for like what you went through. You know what I mean? And I'm like, but they're sorry. And I know that they're genuinely sorry. You know what I mean? So it's like, for me, watching this arc with Todoroki, I do think Todoroki is a good human. He has a good heart. And nobody wants hatred in their heart. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's like the worst type of emotion to like ever have. Like, it absolutely serves no purpose. And he knows that, you know what I mean? And like we said, he's coming to terms with it. My problem with this arc right now is Endeavor. Cause like, and, but you know what I can low key say after losing someone in my family, there are people who the way they grieve is just completely like shutting down. And so like we said, like, maybe it pulled him even farther from his family. Cause like we said, like the kids had housekeepers or nannies or something like that. So yeah, but like, so maybe he pulled even farther away after his son's death, but I have to give him credit cause at least the wheels are turning. I just am like, people can, you know, Endeavor could just maybe just be like, I want to say the S word. I'm gonna say the S word. He might just be shit. You know what I mean? Like, he might just be a shit human and not ever resolve the stuff with his family. And he'll always be stuck in this wheels turning point, you know, but I don't want that for him. Like, I want him to apologize and I want him to like really correct his actions and his behavior and constantly be trying to make this up to his family and know that they're always going to be triggered and that he has to like try his best to minimize their wounds like constantly. But like, if he, I believe in him, you know, it's just, I don't know. It's up to the writers, right? Are they going to make him an absolute shit human, or is he going to be decent? Like, we just.
Well, I feel like they've definitely like set the stage for him not like relapsing into being the worst he's ever been. I don't think he'll ever go back to that level at this point because he knows that he's missing something, right? Like, he's having dreams about his family being happy, and he knows that like he's missing that, and that's something that was supposed to be there. And he's like, he's just sort of figuring out that that's what it's all about. Cause All Might got him started thinking about that. Right. Like, when he had that conversation with All Might, and All Might was like, the answer is simple. Like, you don't have to make it more complicated. And what I think All Might was trying to imply was that like finding something worthy of protecting, it's just supposed to be something simple, like your own family or, you know, the people you love and care about. You don't have to have like this grand philosophy about how to make the entire world a better place, as long as you're trying to love and protect the people that are most important to you. And then it's like, Endeavor was like, people that are most important to me. Oh yes, I have children. Oh,
yeah, I have a family.
Oh, God.
I got a wife and kids. Those kind of,
yeah.
You maybe. Know what? I mean, but you know what, you guys, like this, you guys don't realize how emotionally intelligent both of you are. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, people are
the best compliment you have ever given.
I mean, I'm not trying to be like, you know, no, like, no, I'm being real. That, like, yeah. There's like, look at the world around you. Look at people like, you know, just within an arm's length of you, and you can see how caught up they are with themselves. You know, it's like, you guys have a lot of emotional capacity, like for who knows what reasons. Maybe you came out of the womb like it. Maybe you went through trauma and that's how you got here. Maybe you did self-work. You know, I don't know everyone's story, you know, but it's just like, there are people out there like Endeavor, you know what I mean? And it's like, I don't know. I'm happy that My Hero Academia is taking risks and taking on a story like this. I just, yeah. I hope, I think what I was saying earlier is like, are they going to just like half-ass this? And it's just kind of like, let's talk about trauma a little bit, but now let's go back to being safe. Or are they going to like dive head first and things are going to get really messy?
And AJ is kind of hinting that they're going to fully commit to the storyline.
Which I'm like, I'm here for it if they are.
I don't know where it goes yet, but they don't, this isn't the last we'll see of it. That much I can definitely say without giving away too much. And Jack, I didn't mean that as like a joke or anything. I genuinely meant that I appreciate that compliment as someone with imposter syndrome.
We've all got that, AJ.
We all have that. Yeah.
It does help to have that reassurance sometimes from outside sources. And here's the thing. Endeavor, I think Endeavor's in its different ways going through. I do relate to him a little bit in the sense that, like, he spent so much of his life being one thing, committing to one thing, whether it was for his ego or because he just wanted to prove that he could do it, because we got hints of that from like Hawks. One of the reasons why he looks up to Endeavor is because he's like, hey, everyone was content with not being number one. You were the one person that like wanted to actually try. So in some way, accidentally, he did end up inspiring people. Right. He is a good teacher. He is a man of action. But he seems to be in a state, similar state of what I'm still currently going through, of figuring out that that's not who he can or wants to be anymore. So now he has to ask himself, okay, well, what do I value and who do I want to turn into now? And then the hard part will be, how do I get there? But it seems like he's still in the figuring out who he wants to be. Like, he's asking all of these questions that he should know the answer to, but he doesn't quite have them yet. I don't think he's quite realized what kind of relationship he wants to have with his family. I don't think he's self-aware enough to realize what specifically he should be feeling guilty for, even though he probably starting to feel some kind of guilt for how
I think he is at least reflecting. I kind of got the impression that all the contextual flashbacks we got in this episode was literally like Endeavor, like thinking about, how did I fuck this up? Oh yeah, well, there was that one time when I did that thing.
Yeah.
And then there was this other thing that happened that was also really fucking awful.
Yeah.
And that's why my kids won't talk to me.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of feel like he's reflecting on that, and he's like, maybe.
Yeah, it's a process, and everyone goes at their own pace. But the thing is, and this is not to everyone, you can go at your own pace. Everyone else has to as well. Mm-hmm. So maybe he takes too long and it doesn't work out. Maybe something else happens that recontextualizes his actions and really does put it in the realm of completely unforgivable. It's hard to say, but they'll take some avenues within it. Like I said, even in the next episode, we're going to deal with a bit of fallout and resolution to this whole conversation. I'm actually curious because some scenes were also cut out of this.
Yeah.
So I wonder if they'll be reshown in the next episode so it has more content. But we'll see. And then after that, I don't know. I am so curious about the preview for the next episode, because like, if it's just Froppy on the beach again, I'm out.
Oh my God.
I'm so out.
I know. Like, you know what? I had some of my fans like texting me and stuff like that and like DMing me, and they were just like, this season sucks. Like, I'm not trying to be mean here. Like,
no,
it's not. I mean, and I was airing my frustrations at the beginning, but like, people are telling me they feel the same way, you know? But the thing about this season is it has had moments of greatness. Like, the whole, like, what we've learned about Hawk so far, like, what the hell is going on with him? I love that. Could have definitely done without that bikini episode. Could have definitely done without the whole training arc. I feel like that still could have been 3 episodes. I have no idea how that took up, like, half the season. Took you know what I mean?
Like, 11 episodes.
Not okay. Not okay, in my opinion.
Yeah, it was, like, exactly.
It's just, like, yeah.
It could have cut, like, 3 or 4 episodes out of it.
For sure. So, yeah, I mean, I'm excited to see people saying, like, this is going to become an absolutely wild ride. Because, like, I literally am just getting a little frustrated at this point.
I feel like we've been going up the hill on the roller coaster for a while now.
We got stuck.
Yeah, now you're tired. You just want to drop.
Give me the drop.
It was like, oh, sorry, we're having a technical problem. And we're, like, sitting so we're there. And like I'm like, and then we go up a little bit, and then we're like almost about to fall over, and they're like, "Oh, sorry, there's another problem," and I'm just like about to like puke now just from waiting.
Yep, you want off the ride? You're in that weird, awkward place where it's like, do I just get off the ride or do
exactly.
I wait
you can't. And hope you're too that high the drop up now. Is
exactly, you're hey, too high up. We've invested 5 seasons into this. I'm just like, come on now, man. But
all I'm saying is, because I'm like 90% sure it's the... Because here's the thing. My Hero... Every season of My Hero Academia has always had like build-up, big dramatic arc, and then a little bit of cool-down.
Yeah.
Here it's like we had the build-up and the cool-down at the same time.
Yeah.
And we're still waiting for like...
I don't want any cool-down at the end. I want 7 full episodes of complete like ass-kicking
and
like
insanity.
Drama, like
punchy, fire, all of it. Just like blow stuff up.
I hope so. Because not going to lie, if they do pace those last seven episodes well, it will probably be the best finale of a season that this show has had. Because it's always, every season has ended on a cooldown. We've never had like a cliffhanger or anything like that.
That's true,
And it's like, okay, cool. I will give you guys, like, please don't. We've given you so much leeway with
this. So much goodwill,
So much goodwill. We'll watch the movie when it comes out. We'll do it. Because we probably have to review it at some point or something. Anyway, but it's like, please, let those final seven episodes be like worth it. Because otherwise...
I want to scream at the end of every single one, like, no, another week. No!
So. One thing, you know, AJ, that I thought was really interesting that you were talking about is you're talking about Endeavor and... You were kind of like, and I didn't tell me if I'm wrong, but it was, it's like, he doesn't know who he is. Like, I feel like we don't know his past, but he was forced into this identity of always trying to be number one. And that became his identity.
Yeah. And then when All Might retired, it's like, it's kind of like when you really look forward to a fight or a competition. And then you train all of your life for like this one opportunity to prove that you're the best. And then the person you were supposed to go up against got sick and canceled. Yeah. So you win by default. You're like, well, now what do I do with all of, kind of like this arc? It's like, well, now what do I do with all of this buildup?
Yeah.
You know? And then he's like, what have I been doing with my life? You know, he's like 45 years old. He's number one now. And he has, his life is completely unfulfilled because he has no idea who he is. And it might be because his brain is not the biggest, but you know, that's, he's done like absolutely nothing in depth beyond being number one. You know what I mean? And so it's
the best,
like,
thing he could teach Bakugo is to not end up like him. Because
I'm like, 100%.
I do wish there were more parallels between Endeavor and Bakugo, because that's what I thought they were setting up when I first read this arc.
Yeah.
And we get even in All Might's like, I really want you to pay attention to the current Endeavor. And I'm like, oh, is that because you don't want Bakugo to become so obsessed with winning that he ends up exactly like Endeavor did? Because
that's sad, lonely man. Yeah.
Look at Bakugo. He doesn't really have a tragic home life or anything like that, but he has a similar problem of being obsessed with being the best. And if he did not have that altercation with Deku, he probably would have ended up the same way if Deku became number one.
Hold on. If you want to overanalyze Bakugo a little bit.
Oh, please.
You know, okay.
I live for that.
You know, they always say, do you have a good relationship with your mom or not? He and his mom definitely have a little bit of contention. You know what I mean? Like, maybe she's loving, but she definitely is a little bit harsher with him, you know? So he's had to put up a really, like, angry shield to deal with his angry mom. You know what I mean? So it's like, we could do some deep diving on Bakugo for sure.
Okay,
like,
fair.
He's got, and then also think about, we don't know what happens with him and his mom, but maybe his mom's really hard on him. And she's always pointing out all of his faults, never pointing out all the great things he does. So then he's like, I got to be number one so I can impress mom at home. You know what I mean? And so I don't
know.
His dad is some quiet dude. He doesn't say anything.
He's like a quiet dude with glasses.
But my friend has a dad who is like a very quiet dude. And she's like the loudest, most like even bigger personality than me, if y'all can even believe that. But you know what I mean? And it's like, I know it's because like, and I hate to say this, but it's like, you know, we're saying people are just like this. I am a firm believer in intergenerational trauma, which is going into a whole new thing, but it's about breaking cycles. And that's what's so beautiful about this arc to me, is that like, there is some serious pain with these people, and it's up to Todoroki and these kids to break it. You know what I mean? And it's like, are they going to be able to?
Todoroki feels like to me like he is already aware of it enough that he is gonna spend a lot of his like growing up and stuff ensuring that he doesn't end up that way. But yeah, I agree about, I mean, okay, we're getting over a little bit, but I did want to say, like, with Bakugo.
Sorry, I did bring up like the heaviest stuff.
The episode brought up the heaviest stuff.
I will say this coincidentally, Jackie, I think you pretty much just summed up the theme of the entire show without actually realizing it.
There you go.
Yeah.
I'm proud of myself. I don't even remember when I said no. Anyway.
You were talking about intergenerational.
Intergenerational. Yeah, how it's like up to the next generation to break that cycle and
hey,
everything.
That's going to be the clip you think of. You're going to be like, Jackie, you just summed up everything personally. You'd be like, great. I don't remember what I said.
That's
going to be the clip that we use.
I feel like if anyway. I brought that up like tomorrow, you'll be like, did I say that?
Dude, well, like low key, I wanted to say that at the top of the show, but then I was like, is everybody gonna be like this girl and her? Like, no. I don't know. I read a lot, I do
Jackie,
a lot.
And, we appreciate all of your insight and genuinely think you're an intelligent person.
No, I mean, honestly, I love our podcast because I feel like all three of us, we've done, first of all, we're all, you know, awesome, duh. But then like, also I feel like all three of us have done a lot of self-work. You know what I mean? We do a lot of work on our mental health. We're all very candid about it, you know? And that's why it's like, this is starting to dive deep into this stuff. So it's like really great to chat with y'all about it. That was
awesome. Really good conversation.
For sure. Yeah. Okay, I'm gonna cry. Bye guys.
All right, bye.
I'm just kidding.
I'll say thanks to everybody for tuning in to the after show. We'll be back again next Monday at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. Make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. There's a bell over there that I can't see, but you want to click that and also click subscribe. That's what the that's what all the videos that my kids watch say. Just like and subscribe. So please, like please do that.
Hit that little notification bell.
Ask your parents if you can follow me on my YouTube channel. No, I'm just kidding. Sort of, but. You can get all of our stuff over at animenewsnetwork.com. Also, head over to kimonomerch.com to get some cool Anime News Network swag. And sign up for a newsletter to get all of the headlines right to your inbox every Sunday by Lauren Orsini. She's putting that together for us, and she's doing a really great job. So to find our newsletter, you'll want to head to www.animenewsnetwork.com/newsletter. That was my arm for the listeners at home. And make sure to subscribe to our podcast.
Do a slash with her arm.
Slash. Now I'm a Sentai hero.
End
up forever.
Oh my goodness. End the podcast, please.
Bye, everybody.
We broke Jackie.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 7. My trip to South Dakota was the best summer ever. Now I don't need to go to Mars, because I've been to the Badlands. And I caught a bigger walleye than Dad when we went to the Missouri River. Then I rode my bike through these huge rocks called needles. Ooh, I also saw my first herd of bison, even a fuzzy furry baby one. I can't wait to go back and see more. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.